The burden the Lord laid on my heart tonight is pride. You know, but it's deeper than that. We want to look at pride as what it is, a secret enemy.
Yes.
Pride, a secret enemy.
Lord.
And we think about it being an enemy. Pride is against God.
Yes.
Pride's against our souls. It has been the destruction of many people. And we need to fight it on every level. You see, when you think of pride, sometimes people might think of it in one way or another. But the enemy uses pride in so many ways that's why it's a secret enemy. How did it get started among men? There in the Garden of Eden. That's when it got started. But let's read Obadiah 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest among the cliffs of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." So pride is an enemy that we have to fight against in so many ways, in so many levels. Sometimes the very one that feel like they are humble, you know, you can have some pride in acting humble. You can have pride in thinking you're humble. There's all kinds of pride, and we want to talk about those. But let's look at some of the Word of God on pride. Let's go to Proverbs 16 and 18. And I sure would appreciate your reading for me, please.
Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
So you see, it's not a good thing to be proud.
No.
Proud. Because really, it's going to be to our destruction. And so we have to be watchful. Just like we have to watch the enemy, he's very slick and sly, and he has ways of getting in if we're not careful. Go to Proverbs 29 and 23.
"Man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit."
Amen. So pride is the opposite of humility. The other day, Brother Schaefer preached about humility. But the opposite of that is pride. One more before we go into. Let's go to Psalms 10 and 4. You see here how pride will just be against God? So we don't want to have it at all. What is pride? I looked it up. It says, high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority. Whether as cherished in the mind or as displayed in bearing conduct and so forth. So see, this is, you begin to have what is called an unrealistic view of yourself when you have pride. But you know, I believe that if we look at God and keep our eyes and focus on God and His majesty, it will help us to humble our own selves and see where we are, because we are really nothing but dust. If I could just wipe this podium off, and I would get many pieces of dust on my hands, maybe. Just think of one little piece of it as ourselves. And when we think of ourselves in relationship to God, it'll help us with not being proud.
That's right.
Because we won't feel that we're so much. You know, pride shows itself in so many ways. We don't want to have pride. We don't want to feel like we're more than we are. Let's go to Genesis 3 and 1 and see where pride entered the earth, entered our humanity.
3 and 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
Now look. How did the devil get this across to her? Maybe if he said, oh, that fruit, it tastes good, she might not have been so inclined to it, because there's plenty of fruits in the garden. But what did he say to her? He put it in with everything else. He said that God, he knows. And first he defied God and said, you shall not surely die. Ye shall not die. He defied God in the first place. And then he said, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will become open, and ye shall be as gods. Wait a minute. He appealed to the pride. He got that in there on her. You're going to be as God. What does that mean? Something mighty, something, you know, big, right? And then he said, knowing good and evil. She didn't realize the danger of knowing good and evil. She was in an innocent state. She could have stayed in that state.
Yes.
All humanity could have stayed in that innocent state. But pride. He was able to get her through pride.
Yes.
And so that's why we need to be so careful, because pride will sneak in there. How does pride work? I'll tell you. Sometimes pride works through, maybe I feel special about my family line. You know, we're clays, and the clays are this. You know what I'm saying? Proud of it. You know, we have to be careful.
That's
even
right.
Being proud of our accomplishments of our children. We have to be careful, because we can develop a family pride. You know, no, the clays don't do that. They don't accept this, and They don't eat that, and they don't do this. Family pride. We can have a religious pride.
That's right.
I feel like I am so religious. You know, I'm just too good to be around those people. Now, you don't, it's not that you're going to go out there and just wallow in the mire with other people, but you can at least show cordiality to them.
That's right.
Right. Some ways of pride is ourself.
That's right.
Why, do you, did you hear how she spoke to me?
Yeah.
You know, I'm, excuse me. She talked down to me. You know what? She don't have an ounce of education, and I got this degree and that degree. I don't think so. All of these attitudes is pride. Even if we have plenty degrees and education, we have to take an humble attitude, because guess what? Who let you get it?
Yes.
If God didn't help your mind, you couldn't get it. So we don't need to have pride about education, about, well, I got more degrees than so-and-so, that kind of stuff. No. Sometimes, even people on the street, homeless people, can have pride. You don't have to be rich to be proud. They can be so proud that if you offer them something, certain things, well, here, I have some of these clothes, or I have some of this food, or something, and they don't want to take it because they have too much pride.
Lord, yeah.
Or you can go to this shelter. There is a shelter open. You can go there. Maybe they have too much pride to go there.
Lord, yeah.
It doesn't matter your state in life. The devil doesn't care. He wants to make you feel proud of yourself in one way or another. But there are consequences to being, to having pride. Let's go to Proverbs 11 and 2.
When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom.
So you may have pride, may be proud and feel proud of yourself, but God is going to be shamed in that one way or another. I heard Brother Doug preaching, and he said that they decided to, instead of having, I guess, their regular Thanksgiving, they were going to go out and they were going to pass out food to the homeless. And they got to this one lady, and she refused to take their food.
Yes.
Homeless, needy, probably was almost starving, but she wouldn't take it. I don't know for what reason, but in my estimation, it was something neat, some pride there. Proverbs 6 and 16 and 17 lets us know how God feels about pride.
Yes, that's right. All right, Proverbs 6. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him.
Yes.
17, a proud look.
Yes.
A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises afflictive imaginations. Feet that be swift
in
running to mischief.
And
merciful. A proud look. It's in the list of those seven things that God hates. It says, yeah, seven is abomination to him. God is looking on each one of our hearts, and we need to be careful day after day that we don't feed pride. We can feed it. We can over time become so proud that God will reject us. It is a serious thing. Many people, we have many examples in the Bible of people that were proud and how they went to their destruction. We think about one of the ones that I really want us to read about is in Esther chapter 3. This is serious. I hope that I can get you to understand how the enemy will just have us wrapped up in pride and we not even know it, because he wants to get our soul. And he knows that if we continue on in that direction, somewhere along the line, it's going to be to our destruction.
Lord.
Okay, Esther 3 and 1.
After these things, the king Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did he reverence.
Okay, just a minute. Here Haman has been promoted, and the king said that you had to bow to him or whatever, but Mordecai was a Jew, and he knew better than to bow down to me. So let's see what happens to Haman and what effects it has on him.
Three, then the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. Mm. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath.
Keep going.
And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Okay, in the first month, that is in the month nation, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast her, that is the lot, before Haman, from day to day and from month to month, to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the province of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's law. Therefore it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. 9. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business, to bring it into the king's treasuries. 10. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee.
Okay, stop just a minute. Now, all because he wasn't bowed down to, he was lifted up, and he had been promoted, and because Mordecai wouldn't bow to him, here he made this great written proclamation that all these Jews would be killed. Pride. Now we're going to skip down some, and he kept on with this, but it's a lot of reading. We don't read it all. But let's start at the fourth chapter.
4:1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. 4. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you some of this story. So what is happening is Queen Esther was kin to Mordecai.
That's right.
And she had been made the queen. God had put her there. And here it was, when they found out that all of them were going to be killed, they began to mourn. And Esther got the word, and she tried to, send clothes for her, what's her uncle, I think.
I believe it is.
Yeah, so that he wouldn't have to wear the sackcloth. But when she found out, he told her that she needs to go to the king and, plead for their lives. So she said she would, but she said she had to fast and pray. And he said that you came to this throne for such a time as this. Time went on, and Haman, he just got so angry with Mordecai for not bowing to him, he decides to make a gallows.
That's right.
He makes a gallows in his house to hang Mordecai on.
Lord.
Well, his wife and all the people, they were kind of encouraging him. But then God began to work.
That's right.
And she went to the king. I think one had meal with him. One said she had something to talk to him. Maybe 2 days, I don't remember. But before the last day, the king had couldn't sleep. And so he said, bring me the books. He found out that sometime back, Mordecai had saved his life.
That's right.
And so he tried to figure out, well, what could he do for him, because he saved his life. Well, Haman had already made the gallows, and here Mordecai comes in to the king. He knows he's going to be inviting the king and Haman to a banquet. But before that happened, that he comes in early. I think he was going to talk to him about the gallows. But anyway, when he gets in there, the king asks him, what should I do for the man whom the king wants to honor? And so Mordecai thought, well, who is he going to honor more than me? So he thought, well, I tell you what, let him ride on your horse, wear his robe, let him have your ring, and somebody important walk through the street saying, this is for the man that the king wants to honor.
That's right.
He thought that was going to happen to him. So then the king said, oh, that's a good thing. So just take these things, the robe and the ring and whatever, and put it on Mordecai, the very man that he was wanting to hang. And he was next to the king, so he had been promoted. So you go through the streets and proclaim this.
That's right.
And here he was, having to go through the streets, proclaiming, this is the man whom the king wants to honor. All the people in the kingdom now, seeing him, and those that knew, I'm sure there were people that knew what he had in mind. When he got back home, he was so humiliated.
Lord.
And his wife said, she began to realize if this, you're not going to be able to fight against this. This is God, in other words, and you're not going to be able to fight.
That's right.
Long story short, when Esther told the king what Haman had planned to kill all her people, that would include her, her people, and then the king was very angry with Haman. He went out. He was so angry, he went out of the banquet that she had for him. And when he came back in, Haman was on his knees begging for Esther for his life. But the king thought he was doing something else, and he was so angry with him. And then the men told the king, well, he's built the gallows for Mordecai. And he said, hang him on those gallows. God, it's serious when you have pride. Because pride goes before destruction.
Yes, it does.
And the heart and spirit before fall. And so he was hung on the very gallows that he was trying to hang the person that he was upset with because they wouldn't humble and bow to him. I want us to be very cautious about pride. I have David to realize that deal with pride myself. The devil will bring those thoughts to my mind, and you know what? I resist them. You see, pride can be like this. Somebody tell you, oh, I like your cakes. You make beautiful cakes, right? Mm. And I can get a little proud about that. Somebody, you know, the enemy will whisper in your ears, oh, you're good. You can make a beautiful cake. Mm. Or he might tell you something else you can do real good. You have to resist those thoughts.
Yes.
I am nothing. I couldn't make this cake unless the Lord helped me.
Yes.
That's all we have to do. Resist it. Fight it with all we have within us, because we don't want to be found in a state of having pride in our heart. Somebody was speaking to me the other day about something. They were thinking, I guess maybe I was good. I told them, I said, you see that down there? You see that dust down there? That's me. That's the way you have to let them do it. There was a man in the Bible, it's in Acts, we won't go to that. I'm trying to think of his name.
Herod.
Was it Herod? It was one, anyway, he was a leader. And the people were praising him, he made a great oration. And they said, it's the voice of a God talking about him. That he had made such a great oration that they said, it's the voice of a God. And not man. And he accepted it. He didn't say, oh no, I'm not a God. I'm a man like you, which he should have.
Yes.
But by him accepting that, he was smoked. The angel smote him, and he died. We cannot even accept, even though we do get praise, sometimes people give us praise, we can't afford to let it get into our heart as we are something when we are nothing.
Amen.
Can't do anything, can't say anything unless God gives us the ability to say it. So what should we do about pride? Resist it. When we're tempted to be proud. But what we can do also is humble ourselves. Let's go to Romans 12:3. So you see, like the brother was preaching about humility, it is a must. It's almost like, it's not something that I can take it or leave. It's not something that we can do that. We must humble ourselves. under the mighty hand of God. Because if we don't, pride will set in, and it will eventually lead to our destruction.
Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Amen. So we're going to humble ourselves. We're not going to think of ourselves as anything. And another thing, and it was mentioned the other day, is we should esteem others better than ourselves. Let's go to Philippians 2:3.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem better than themselves.
Read verse 4 and 5.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Yes.
But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You want more?
Yes.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross.
You see, if we will humble ourselves, resist pride and humble ourselves, it will help us to be obedient just like Jesus did. Jesus humbled himself. Don't you imagine what it was like? He was in heaven with all the royalty of heaven, but he was willing to come down here, and he didn't come down here trying to be chief or be a big king or something. He came down here and took on the form of a servant.
Yes, he did.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Don't you know the humility that he suffered?
Yes.
The death on the cross with thieves, with people that, you know, so you don't want, wouldn't want to have my name as a thief. But do you know he was willing to be up there and die just as though he was a thief? Just the same as the thieves and robbers. So if Jesus humbled himself,
yes,
it stands to reason we need to do our part to humble ourselves. So let's be encouraged to fight pride. Let's go to one more scripture. It's 1 Peter 5:6.
Six. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
Yes.
You know, we don't need to exalt ourselves.
No,
but if we stay humble, God will exalt us. And that kind of exaltation is not going to hurt us, because God is going to, it'll be a blessing. So let us be encouraged to take the humble route day after day, regardless of what comes our way, no matter how people might think we are this or that.
Yep,
just be humble before the Lord. Pray for me.